The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
So we were talking a little bit about AI in the context of the new Leaving Cert, and I suggested kids would want their head examined if they weren't using AI for their projects. In fact, what we have today are figures from the State Examination Commission that suggest there's been a doubling in the number of Leaving Cert results that have been withheld because of cheating. Now, most people would be horrified at the prospect of cheating, but I mean, is all cheating equally terrible, or is some cheating more equal than others? Steve Cummins, the comedian, is with me. Steve, do you ever cheat?
I have one very simple rule. I will never cheat a person, but I have no problem cheating a system.
Oh, explain that to me now.
For example, I would never cheat at a game of cards, game of Monopoly. I wouldn't cheat in a race. I wouldn't cheat in a game of pool. I wouldn't cheat in any way that a person can be affected. However, systems, like, just so odd there that you mentioned AI. It's Northeastern University, some woman recently tried to demand a refund on her fees because she was able to prove that all the notes from her lecturer were from AI, were all created around AI. And there was even questions around the correcting of papers using AI. And she quoted to the university, I signed a contract when I became a student here that AI is cheating, yet now this is happening. I would like a refund of $8,000 on that course. Northeastern didn't give her a refund, but what they did do was they changed their AI policy to include, it's kind of okay if the lecturers are doing this kind of thing, right?
Okay.
So there's a system. Cheat away if you can. You know what I mean? Because they're going to try and stack it against you. Absolutely cheat away. Another one, an example from my personal life, right? The cost of parking in Dublin on street is exorbitant. It's ridiculous anywhere, but it's ridiculously exorbitant on the street. And if you make a mistake, if you're late back to your car for any reason, you could end up being clamped and stuck on the side of the road in a huge fine. One day, about 8 or 9 years ago, I was putting money into a parking machine beside Merrion Square.
Yeah.
And I realized I'd only paid for 2.5 hours when I meant to put in for 3. So just as my finger hit the little green ticky button, I went, oh no, I need to put more money. So I also rapidly hit the I don't want a ticket button. What happened? The thing paid off like a slot machine, and the next thing, out came my printed parking ticket. So I got my money back, and I still got my parking paid for.
Whoa. Does this work everywhere?
Well, here's the thing, because I know everyone's going to be trying it now. I did it maybe 7 or 8 more times in that exact machine. Because at the time I was doing something for a radio program where I had to be in around Merrion Square a lot. And I did it like 8 or 9 times. I haven't done it since because I've never had the opportunity. But every time I see one, I'm going, yeah, I'll give that a go. And the reason I do it, I don't feel that's cheating anybody. I mean, if you decide, okay, I need to park in the city centre, you think I'll probably only be 2 hours. I better pay for 3. You come back after 1.75 hours, you leave. Somebody else goes into that spot. It's not like you get a refund on your parking. So basically my moral compass is slightly skewed, but I think I would never cheat against a person. I would never cheat on my wife. I would never cheat. I'm trying to think, did I ever cheat in a test? Probably. Probably, knowing me. But if it directly affects somebody,
yeah.
I think, you know, if your cheating gets you an advantage over somebody else, over another person, then you should never do it. However, if you're cheating gives you an advantage over a system that's corrupt in its own way, knock yourself out.
Well,
if I can find a way to help you, I will.
Anne Keogh is with us, the psychologist. Anne, can you explain then the psychology of that? Because I would wager lots of people listening to this, and Steve is right, they're going to be thinking, I'm going to try that at the parking machine. And they'll have no qualms about it. And yet they would have qualms about cheating in other contexts. So why is some cheating okay in our minds and other cheating not?
I think Steve's points are fair in that it's really how the beholder feels about the consequence of their cheating and who that could affect. So if you own the parking company, you're going to have different feelings about how Steve's doing what he's been doing versus if you are also fed up paying for exorbitant parking in the city. So it is in the eye of the beholder. There's a lot of fear of failure or fear of not being good enough. And that's kind of leads people to cheat on tests and things like that. And really, it's a cost-benefit analysis. Do the risks outweigh the benefit of what you've decided to do? For example, skip a bus fare or, you know, maybe put your spellings on something that you shouldn't if you have to a school test or something like that. And we do see young people are more likely to be impulsive on this than when your moral compass develops and you're a bit older.
What about within sport, for example? Because what I'm fascinated by is how some cheat in a single sporting game, in one game, one event, some cheating we think is okay and some cheating isn't. So people will look down their nose much more at somebody who dives to get a free, for example, than they would at somebody who kind of pulls someone back by the jersey. You know, but both of them are cheating, yet one of them, maybe because there's an element of duplicitousness in diving to get a free, and that's why we think it's worse. I don't know what it is. What do you think it is?
It tends to be really what's more socially appropriate. So if you imagine that the spectators have probably played the game and most people will have reached for a jersey, not everyone has dived. So there's kind of a social compass around, like literally, as you said, it's like on a stairs, like a ladder. What's good? What's okay cheating and what's not okay cheating? Now you'll have a bad jersey grab that's not okay, or a kind of a half dive that's not so bad. So the public judges that based on the sport itself and the kind of what's normal within the game.
And what about attitudes then, kind of country by country? Do certain jurisdictions like Ireland, do we turn a blind eye more to kind of cheating of public bodies or public institutions than might happen in other countries, like in the Nordic countries?
There are certainly countries that are more conforming, like, for example, countries like Japan, where there's a much more collective mentality. You'll see spectators picking up after themselves at a game, cleaning up their seats quite literally, whereas in Ireland, people won't do that. They leave the mess on the floor for someone else to tidy up. So you have countries where people will feel more morally obligated within themselves to abide by the rules, and others where being a chancer, which is quite an Irish thing, is kind of lauded.
Yeah.
Like if you got away with something, if you did get in for free by accident because the turnstile turned quicker than it should have or easier, sure, fair play to you. And that's often the attitude here, depending on the thing.
Well, I'm not calling Steve a chancer, but Steve, people are unhappy with you. Good man, Steve. Now you've ruined that parking glitch for everybody else. And somebody else says, thanks, Steve. That's free parking finished for me now for the rest of my life. So maybe it was more than just that one rogue station on Merrion Square, Steve. Maybe you knew something that other people knew, but none of them spoke about out loud, and you've ruined it. Anyway, Steve, thank you. Steve Cummins, the comedian, Ankyo, senior clinical psychologist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.